Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Welcome back to another episode of Phillies Today. I'm Kyle Forsini here with you for the next half hour, and we've got a lot to dive into in Phillies land. We'll touch on the Astros game that happened last night. The Phillies win a thriller, a game that in recent weeks and recent months, it's felt like they probably wouldn't have won, but they get the job done last night. So some good positive vibes to talk about for the Phillies over the last couple of games and really over the last week or so. And we'll also dive into that Atlanta series that just happened, how that was not a pretty series, how Atlanta still unfortunately has their number, even though the Atlanta Braves are as injured as they could possibly be. And then we'll also look ahead to what's coming up with the Atlanta series this weekend, as well as the remaining two matchups against Houston this week. But I want to start with the game last night because it was a thriller. And if you miss it, I'll recap the game a little bit for you. I'll dive into what went on and what Phillies fans were likely feeling throughout this game, because this was a huge series that was starting. It's, you know, the Phillies for the remainder of the year really don't have any stretch where you look at their homestand or their road trip where you say, well, they should probably win that one, right? Like, none of the teams they're facing are that good. They should kind of cruise through this one. They don't really have that for the remainder of the year. The closest thing they have to it is beginning of September, they play 6 games in a row, but they're on the road against the Blue Jays and against the Marlins, and neither of those teams have been playing good baseball all season long, but they're on the road. And Toronto, not a place the Phillies typically play well. Miami, we know the struggles the Phillies have had there. So for the remainder of the season, every time you look at the Phillies' schedule and who they've got upcoming, it's going to be kind of like what they have this week. They play the Astros, then they play the Braves, and it's like, you know, they feel like playoff games. It feels like it's playoff caliber baseball that the Phillies are going to have to play if they're going to want to be able to win these series. And they do that on Monday night. They take a critical game one against Houston when it's felt like the Phillies, you know, have struggled to win game ones of series since the All-Star break, or even, you know, the A series before that. They've struggled mightily to get the job done in game one of a series, even though the series against Kansas City that they just played this weekend, they lose game one. You know, they win the series, but they lose the critical game one, and that's been a trend for the Phillies as of late. They've put themselves behind the eight ball in so many of these series, so to come out in game one against Houston and not do that was huge, especially because they were facing a good pitcher in Ronel Blanco, who did throw a no-hitter earlier this year. He had a 3.05 ERA coming into the game tonight. And for the majority of it, you know, he was really good. He had shut the Phillies down for the first 3 innings of the game, really maybe even the first 4 innings of the game. The Phillies were struggling to get any sort of offense going against him. And then Brandon Marsh kind of breaks it open in the fifth inning. and hits a home run. You know, leads off the fifth with a home run to left field. He hit it really well. It was a good piece of hitting from Marsh. Hopefully he's able to kind of come out of the funk that he's seemingly been in for a really long time. But and that sparked the scoring for the Phillies. That got them to within 2-1. Wheeler had given up two runs in the fourth inning on a double. And Wheeler, for the first four innings of this game, was dodging traffic a lot. He didn't have a clean inning until the fifth inning. It felt like every single time he went out there, he was either having guys on first and second, or he was at least having a guy on first. There were a couple of guys that got into scoring position. And it was a Wheeler start where you knew that the implosion wasn't going to happen, because it's so infrequent that Zach Wheeler has an implosion where he gives up six runs or seven runs. He just doesn't really do that. And Wheeler improved his ERA last night to 2.74, went six innings and only gave up two runs. Now, he did give up six hits, but all in all, a good start from Zach Wheeler, even though, like I said, he had some traffic on the Bates pads, but was able to work out of that and was able to keep the Phillies within reach so that they could eventually come back and tie the game. And that's what they do. The fifth inning, Marsh hits that home run. They don't score anymore in the fifth, but Wheeler comes right back out for the sixth, has a nice, easy 1-2-3 inning to send the Astros down, and then coming right back in the bottom of the sixth, Bryce Harper led off with a double to left center field. A really good piece of hitting when Bryce Harper is staying gap to gap like he did on that double. It's when you know Bryce Harper's at his best. It's when you know he's locked in. You know his swing is feeling good. You know he's seeing the ball well. And when he drives it to left center, he drives it to right center. That's when good stuff starts happening. And that's when the home runs are just around the corner. And just to that point on Bryce Harper, it's been 15 games since Bryce Harper has hit a home run. He has not hit a home run since August 9th against Arizona, and that was a game that they lost. He's only hit two home runs in the month of August as a whole. So not a lot of power in terms of the home run for Bryce Harper in the month of August, which historically is a very good month for Bryce Harper. Not so much this year, but the signs that I saw with him going gap to gap, it feels like those home runs are just right around the corner. And Bryce Harper last night does go 2-for-3 as well. So, you know, two hits, obviously the walk-off, which we'll touch on in a little bit. But really, really good signs from Bryce, which gets you excited that the Phillies superstar is kind of coming out of the funk that he's been in for seemingly a really long time. I mean, Harper's season hasn't been bad by any stretch. You know, he was in the MVP conversation for a while, but he has had some really cold stretches that have extended for long periods of time this season, which we haven't really seen in recent years. And it's happened this year, but he seems like he's coming out of it right now. He leads off that sixth inning with a double. Alec Bohm grounds out to shortstop, but Bryce reads it really well. It's a weakly hit ball, and he's able to get to third base, and he's able to get himself on third base with less than two outs. And Nick Castellanos singles him right home. Nice line drive single to center field. Gets that run home. Ties the game up at two. Phillies fans are going crazy. You're feeling good. You know, it's felt like two runs was an insurmountable deficit to the Phillies for a large part of the last couple of weeks. It did feel like that originally when it happened, with the way that their offense was feeling. You know, they seemed anemic on offense. They couldn't really get anything going, and Blanco was just shutting them down. But as soon as they were able to get the Marsh home run and then the Castellanos RBI single, it was like, okay, you know, this team seems like they're coming out of that funk that they've been in for so long. They put up 22 runs the last 2 days in that Kansas City series. Here they are battling back and showing some fight at home against the Astros. You know, good crowd on hand. Maybe they're getting behind the crowd. And they're able to tie the game up at two in the sixth inning. JT would hit a two-out double to move Castellanos to third base. That got Blanco out of the game and brought former friend Hector Neris to the mound. Hector Neris, who was with the Cubs for the majority of the season this year, really struggled with the Cubs, was cut by the Cubs, and then the Astros brought him right back in. And the Astros is where he had some of his best seasons in baseball. He had a sub-1 ERA his last season with the Astros, which was last year, but really, really struggled with the Cubs this year, just couldn't find it. He is able to come in on four pitches, gets Brandon Marsh to strike out. So Neris does his job in getting out of the sixth inning. It's 2-2 going into the bottom of the top of the seventh. Orion Kerkering comes in to relieve Zach Wheeler. Gets Jake Meyers to ground out, gets a strikeout, and then Alex Bregman hits a single, but Yordan Alvarez grounds out right after that. So a clean inning from Kerkering, which is a really good sign. And Kerkering has been very solid his last four times out there. The last time he gave up a run was August 15th against Washington, and that was in the 13-3 win for the Phillies. So, you know, a game where maybe it's hard for him to get up for, a game that you don't really care what the reliever does as much. You're just trying to kind of get through some innings. He's been solid ever since then. He had two scoreless innings against Atlanta, which you'd love to see, one which included two strikeouts. He had a scoreless inning in Kansas City, and then he has a scoreless inning against Houston. And Kerkering is going to be a big part of this bullpen come the playoffs. And you need guys like him to figure it out, because a lot of people in that Phillies bullpen really started to lose it right around the All-Star break and for the large majority of after the All-Star break, guys were not pitching well. Guys were not able to hold leads. It felt like the Phillies were blowing leads or giving other teams, you know, pretty big leads because their bullpen was not able to come in and do anything. Their bullpen was just kind of threw fuel on the fire. So for a guy like Kerkering to come in and to continue his scoreless streak of four games now is always a good sign. You need him to kind of figure it out before the playoffs and give himself some confidence going in. He does that in the seventh inning. The Phillies in the bottom of the seventh inning do not score. They do get a Trey Turner double and a Bryce Harper walk with two outs. Brings up Alec Bohm to the plate, who had a pretty good at-bat. It was a 10-pitch at-bat for Alec Bohm. Had a lot of fouls in there. He had five straight fouls at one point in that at-bat. Gets frozen by a fastball at the knees to ring him up and they get out of the seventh inning there unscathed to the Astros. We go to the eighth inning. Jeff Hoffman relieves Orion Kerkering. So, I mean, Rob Thompson is clearly not doing the Rob Thompson special, if you will, where he kind of just throws the talent on a game where it feels like the Phillies have a chance to win it. He doesn't do that tonight. He's throwing all the tricks out there at the Astros, bringing in all of his best relievers, Kerkering in the seventh, and then Hoffman in the eighth. And Hoffman gives up a leadoff single to Yainier Diaz, but then gets Jeremy Pena to ground into a double play. John Singleton walks, but then Victor Caratini grounds out. So even though he got two base runners on, Jeff Hoffman is able to work out of trouble. And Jeff Hoffman is another one similar to Orion Kerkering, where you need him to be able to figure it out. You need Jeff Hoffman to be the Jeff Hoffman of the first half of the season come playoff time. Hoffman, prior to the All-Star break, had a 1.12 earned run average. That's gone all the way up as high as 2.3 on August 21st, 2.03, not 2.30. And he's brought it back down now to 1.95. So he's another guy that's got a sub-2 ERA for the Phillies in the bullpen, and a guy that you need to be able to figure it out. A guy that you need to be able to go out there and eat tough innings and be able to get tough outs for you the way he did last year and the way he did for the majority of the season this year. You need that Jeff Hoffman to come back, and to see him throw a scoreless inning against Houston was nice. He's now thrown three straight scoreless outings when he's gone in there. You know, a scoreless outing against Atlanta, a scoreless outing against Kansas City, and then a scoreless one against Houston, which is really nice. And for Jeff Hoffman to be pitching the way that he is, it is a huge boost for the Phillies, because he really struggled post-All-Star break. He had, at one point, had given up a run in four of five outings, but not doing that so much now, and has seemingly kind of found his groove again, settled down, and been able to pitch high-leverage innings for the Phillies and do it in an effective way. So for Jeff Hoffman to be able to do that, that's huge. The Phillies don't score in the bottom of the eighth. Brian Abreu comes in, sets him down 1-2-3 before the Phillies can even really think about getting a rally. All of a sudden, they're going back out in the ninth inning trying to keep the game at 2-2, and that's what Carlos Estevez does. Thompson goes to Estevez in the ninth. Estevez gets a 1-2-3 ninth inning, which feels really good. My issue with Estevez is the fact that he doesn't have a high strikeout rate, and he showed that last night. He had three balls get put in play, but they are three outs. Ben Gamel lined out. Jose Altuve, who pinch hit in that situation, did not get the start because of general body fatigue last night. And the crowd was booing the living daylights out of him. I mean, he came up to the plate and was hearing it from the entire crowd at Citizens Bank Park, and rightfully so. You know, he's part of the cheating scandal. Everybody hates Altuve. You know, there are other guys who are part of it as well who don't get the booze quite the same that he does. And look, Altuve is a great player with or without cheating, but obviously that, you know, his reputation is tainted forever because of the situation with the cheating scandal in 2017. And he heard a mirage of booze from the crowd, and Estevez is able to get him to ground out a shortstop, and then he gets a line out to end the ninth inning to give the Phillies a chance against Josh Hader in the bottom of the ninth inning. And he strikes out the side. Edmundo Sosa, weak, feeble at bat, strikes out. Austin Hayes, feeble at bat, strikes out. Kyle Schwarber strikes out on five pitches as well. And Josh Hader just bing, bang, boom, before you could even blink. You were going into the 10th inning. You were going into extras. And the Phillies have struggled in extra innings this year. It's felt like they're never able to score. It's felt like they're always giving up runs in their top half of the inning. You know, when they're on the mound, they're not able to hold that ghost runner to second base. And that's exactly what Matt Strom does. And a common theme throughout this game is getting good outings from guys who have not been quite as good since the All-Star break. Matt Strom, another one. Matt Strom, prior to the All-Star break, Matt Strom's ERA was 1.49. And Strom was the guy who had a sub-1 ERA all the way until June 26th. He had been really, really good, obviously, prior to the All-Star break. Not the same pitcher since. His ERA had gone all the way up to 2.41 At one point after the All-Star break, that's how bad Matt Strom was. Again, it was sub one on June 26th. It bloated all the way up to 2.46 and 2.41. And 2.41 is a fine ERA. It's not like that's bad for a reliever, especially because of the fact that they can be so volatile with the fact that they're not throwing a lot of innings. But his ERA had gone all the way up to that. He's got it back down now to 2.13. He's had three straight scoreless outings as well for the Phillies, and he gets a huge job done in that 10th inning, keeping the Astros at bay. And Johan Rojas made an amazing play in center field, a huge diving play that was able to keep the Phillies in a tie ball game. It was a line drive, a sinking liner to center field that comes charging in on it, full out extension dive, makes the play. And Johan Rojas in the second half is hitting .300 on the nose. He has 18 defensive runs saved in center field in his entire career, and he's the fourth fastest player in Major League Baseball by sprint average. And he's just turned 24, and that's courtesy of Alex Carr on Twitter. He's got a lot of good stats from Alex Carr. Give him a follow. Rojas, for all the faults that he has, and I've been one that's been a naysayer, I've been one that's called for his job, I've been one that said the Phillies were stupid for letting him, you know, have that center field job, but he has played a lot better as of late. The at-bats have started to look a lot better. Now, you know, he still will turn in the crappy at-bat here and there, and he didn't get the start last night. Gets a tough pitcher for the Astros, but the defense has been enough to warrant him being out there in center field. You know, the speed is huge. If he hits a ball on the ground in the infield, you always know there's a chance that he beats it out. And the diving play that he made in center field just kind of encapsulates the great play that we've seen from Johan Rojas as of late. He's able to keep the Phillies in that 2-2 game in the 10th inning. And Strom also, you know, went through Bregman, went through Alvarez, and went through Diaz in that 10th inning to keep the Phillies, in a tie ball game. Bregman struck out, getting a huge out against Alvarez, where he grounded out to Bryce Harper weakly to first base and then the line drive. So a good outing from Strom, a good play from Rojas, kept the Phillies in a 2-2 game. And then Bryce Harper, you know, Trey Turner walks in the 10th inning. Bryce Harper comes right up against Josh Hader. First pitch swinging, ground ball into right field, base hit. Schwarber comes around to score. Phillies win the game 3-2, and it felt like a sigh of relief for everyone throughout the Philadelphia area, knowing that the Phillies could win that type of game again. The Phillies could win that playoff-esque type of game. They get the job done and are able to get the record to 77-54. They're a game behind the Dodgers for the best record in the National League. They're a game and a half up on the Brewers for the second best record in the National League, and they are six games ahead of the Atlanta Braves in the National League East. And those Atlanta Braves are where I'm segueing to next, because that series that the Phillies played in Atlanta this past week, Just a terrible series, and I don't know what it is and why Atlanta has their number. Because look, the Phillies have beat the Braves in the playoffs the last 2 years, and we all love that, of course. You want to have the last laugh at the end of the season, but it's also incredibly annoying that the Phillies can't seemingly ever beat the Braves in the regular season. And this is a Braves team that's hanging on life support. This is a Braves team that is trying to have any excuse to not be in the National League East race anymore and to just focus on the wild card. And that series in Atlanta was a prime time to show them that, yeah, we're going to beat you, and we're going to show you that you don't have really any chance in the National League East anymore. We're going to assert our dominance, and we're going to just knock you out of the race right now and have you hanging your head after this series. And instead, all the Phillies do is give the Braves more life, is give the Braves hope that maybe if we start playing better baseball, maybe we play good in that four-game series coming up against the Phillies in Philadelphia, we're going to find ourselves in a dogfight for the National League East when it's felt like all season that we were kind of really out of this race. And for the Phillies to kind of go in there and play the brand of baseball that they did, look sloppy on defense, have the bats do essentially nothing. The Kyle Schwarber, Trey Turner, and Bryce Harper had two hits in the entire series. You know, when your big guns aren't able to show up in the big spot, it's incredibly frustrating and it's incredibly infuriating for that to happen. And the Braves, you know, a close series, the Phillies lose both games in Atlanta only by one run. It's not like the Braves dominated them by any stretch in the series. They lost 3-1 on Tuesday night and 3-2 on Thursday, and they win 3-2 in the game in the middle. But, you know, a close series, one that I was hoping the Phillies would kind of figure it out and find a way to not play that kind of baseball versus the Braves, but was not to be true. Braves take 2 out of 3. It was infuriating for the Phillies at the time. They then, of course, lose game one in Kansas City, and it's like, oh my God, here we go again. This team can't get out of their own way. At every turn, it feels like they're just trying to fumble away the lead that they've had the entire season. But they right the ship, they win, and they win by scoring 22 runs the last two in Kansas City, and then winning a good thriller against Houston last night in game one of that series. So our Phillies, they're in a good spot right now. Like I said, six up on the Braves and a game behind the Dodgers for the best record in the National League. So good thoughts for the Phillies right now. They've got a tough rest of the series against Houston. They have, Obviously, Justin Verlander against Aaron Nola tonight. Verlander has not been the same pitcher this year as he has been in years past, but you know, he's been injured for a lot of it, but he's still Justin Verlander. He still knows how to pitch. He's still a tough guy to hit against. He faces Aaron Nola tonight. And then Wednesday, it's a 4:05 game. It's Spencer Arrighetti against Taijuan Walker. Spaghetti versus meatballs. I saw a meme on Twitter about it. Arrighetti's last name and Taijuan Walker, who throws meatballs up there. That's what you're getting on Wednesday. And I get it. They don't want Taijuan Walker to start in game one against the Braves. But how about not having Taijuan Walker start at all? How about having Taijuan Walker just not pitching for your team anymore? Because I don't care how much money he's owed, he is a black hole and a pitcher that you know is going to give your team no chance to win every time he goes out there. Got absolutely shelled on Friday night against Kansas City. Who didn't see that coming? I think we all did. It's been the pitcher he's been since he's been on the Phillies. You know, I don't need to spend that much time on Taijuan Walker, but, you know, just infuriating the way he's pitched. And he does not deserve a spot on this Phillies team. And I don't think anybody thinks he does outside of Rob Thompson and Dave Dombrowski and whoever else is up in the Phillies brass that think that this guy deserves another start for them. He doesn't. And it's time for the Phillies to move on from Taijuan Walker. We'll go around with Major League Baseball here as we wind down. Really, really fun division in the AL Central. Now, the Phillies, who had just beat Kansas City 2 in a row on the weekend to make Kansas City's chances of winning the AL Central a little bit harder, well, they had a doubleheader yesterday against the Guardians, and it's in Cleveland. So they're playing a 4-game series against the Guardians. And Kansas City goes in there and sweeps them. They take both games of that doubleheader against the Guardians. They win game 1-4-3. They win game 2-9-4. And Bobby Wood Jr. has a huge day for them. Goes, you know, has a home run in game 2 of that doubleheader. And the Royals are able to close that gap. And now they're only a game behind the Guardians, who have led that division for basically all year. They are now just that close to taking over the AL Central division lead. And they've got 2 games left in that series to try and take that lead. They could leave that series with a game lead in the division where they have not all season long. And I've mentioned the Royals a ton of times, how they've surprised me how good they are this year. Their young talent is there, and they've got a very good pitching staff, one that the Phillies kind of exposed a little bit on the weekend. That's not typically how the Royals have played this year. They've had a really good pitching staff, but the Phillies exposed it over the weekend, but they get it right back, and they're now a game behind Cleveland. Minnesota 72-59. They are 2.5 games back. Minnesota got hammered 10-6 last night against the Braves, but they gave up 9 runs in the first 2 innings. A bad start from Bailey Ober, and the Braves were able to really just dominate Minnesota in that game. In a game when there was tornado warnings and stuff in Minnesota, I was shocked that they continued to play that game because there was, you know, nasty storms. If you saw pictures of that game, the sky looked like it was from a zombie apocalypse. It was like red. It was really, really freaky, the situation in Minnesota. But they are 2.5 games back of Cleveland. They lose to the Braves last night. The other fun division in the American League is the American League East. The Yankees are 2 games over Baltimore. Aaron Judge is on a historic pace. Hit home runs 50 and 51 the other night. He's at 51 homers on the season. They beat the Nationals yesterday 5-2. They are 2 games ahead of the Baltimore Orioles. But Aaron Judge, he's got to be the greatest hitter of the modern generation. You know, obviously, with no steroid implication. You know, Barry Bonds, for whatever it's worth, was one of the best hitters of all time. But Aaron Judge, a clean hitter, done it without drugs, and is just a machine at the plate. He's hitting 333, 51 homers, 122 RBIs, and 104 runs scored. If he can catch Bobby Witt Jr. for batting average, you got a chance to see a Triple Crown winner for the first time since 2012. And Aaron Judge has it all. He is a 5-tool player. He does everything. And even though him and Juan Soto didn't have a great game last night, the Yankees still get a win over the Nationals and extend their division lead to 2 games over the Baltimore Orioles, who did not play last night and start a series against the Dodgers coming up on Tuesday. But that division is fun. Those teams are separated by only 2 games. In the AL West, the Astros are 70-61 after their loss to the Phillies last night. After the Mariners won, they beat the Rays last night. Randy Arozarena homered against his former team. They're 3.5 games behind Houston in that division. The Mariners have been in a free fall. They fired Scott Service, their manager, after that really bad start to the month of August that they've had. But they are only 3.5 games back. So if they can figure out how to play a little bit, you know, better than they have been recently, they will have a chance to win that division still. They do still play the Astros, the second to last series of the year. So if they can hang in it, they can make that AL West interesting. As I mentioned, Philly 6 games over the Braves, 9 games over the Mets. That means they are 9 games into a playoff spot as well. The Mets are the first team out of the playoffs, so the Phillies are 9 games up in the division, and they are 9 games up on a playoff spot. The Braves occupy that third wild card spot in the National League, and they have a 3-game lead over the New York Mets for that. In the NL Central, it's still the Brewers all day, every day. The Cubs have kind of started to make a little bit of a charge. They're still 10 games back. They're 66-66. They've played better baseball as of late, but they are still 10 games back of the Brewers. Nobody is catching the Brewers in that division. It feels like it's all but locked up for Milwaukee to win that division. They are 75-55, so they are a game and a half behind the Phillies for the second best record in the National League. And then in the National League West, the Dodgers are 78-53. They've got the best record in the National League. They've got the best record in baseball, and they are 3 games over the Arizona Diamondbacks and 4 games over the Padres. Both of those teams have just been red hot since the All-Star break, playing an amazing brand of baseball. The Diamondbacks are the team that I do not want the Phillies to play come postseason time. You know, we saw what happened with them last year. We saw what happened with them when they went to Arizona this year. That's a team that just kind of has their number. And as much as I would like the Phillies to exercise those demons against the Diamondbacks, I just kind of want them to avoid them. And hopefully the Diamondbacks get knocked out by somebody else prior to playing the Phillies, because the Diamondbacks scare me, I'll be honest. Padres, like I said, 4 games back in that division. And then the Giants, who are 66-66, are 12.5 games back in that division. All right, that's going to do it for me. Fun stuff looking around Major League Baseball. It's fun to see how all the divisions are shaken out. It's fun to see the teams that have not been good for a lot of years, like Kansas City, like Seattle, who struggled a lot in recent memory, hang around and have chances for the division and giving a run at those teams that have been in first place for a long time so far this year. And the Phillies playing better baseball. They've won 3 in a row. I'm not going to go as far as saying the team is quote-unquote back, but I'm happy with the way that they're playing right now. I know you out there listening probably are too. Justin Verlander versus Aaron Nola tonight should be a good one. Make sure you tune in to that game. It's going to be broadcasted at 6:40 tonight. Excuse me, no, it's not. It's going to be broadcast. Yes, it is. I'm sorry. 6:40 tonight. You can watch that game. Hopefully the Phillies can find another way to take a game in this series and win the series versus the Houston Astros.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!